Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Today with Dr. K. Our good friend Dr. K is not here today, and I'm sitting in at the microphone as we talk about, at the cusp of the weekend, a very hot topic. I don't know if I realized so many of you had an opinion about bike lanes. But boy, over the last hour, you have really chimed in and let people know where you stand on these bike lanes. All over the city, more and more increasingly, there are bike lanes that progressive cities believe that you have to accommodate. And it is an incentive for people to move into the city if there are accommodations for bikes. Maybe it's just me. I just don't see people using them. Where are all these bicyclists? It's either feast or famine. There have been times when I've been driving through the city and you have to sit at a light while 500 bikes go by. They're all together. They're all biking together on that one day. But the lane is there for you every day. The streets are small. Try to be a big fire truck and go down some of these streets of bike lanes. You are going to run over that petition for the bike lane. How about being an ambulance and let your loved one be in a house that's on fire or be needing an emergency, an EMT or an ambulance, and they can't get to them based on this bike lane? That's a problem. I want to hear from you. There has to be a way that we can make this work. And it's got to be, that decision has to be made before you put the bike lane in. You've got to go to that community in that neighborhood and say, we are thinking about putting a bike lane on such and such a street. These are the number of parking spaces that are going to be impacted. This is the streets going to be redesigned. You got to tell them everything. And together you make a decision. Not Big Brother City coming in saying, you now have a bike lane. 410-319-8880. I want to know what you think about bike lanes. Maybe bike lanes are working in your town out in Baltimore County or Anne Arundel County. Let us know how they got it to work. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Roman. Roman's calling from here in Baltimore. Roman, welcome to the program.
Is it Roman or Raymond?
Oh, Raymond. Raymond. It says Roman here. I read what they write. Go ahead, Raymond.
Okay. Two things about the bike lanes. You know, Anthony, like they put times on where you can drive up and down the street, like rush hour in the morning, rush hour in the evening. I think they should do that for the bike lanes. It slows down traffic when nobody's using it.
Very true.
Like you said, every 5 hours, somebody's driving down a bike lane and in the wrong neighborhood. My second thing about the bad roads, I think, and I know for a fact, the worst road or street in Baltimore City is Franklin Town Road.
Okay.
I know for a fact I've had three flats.
Wow.
I've had to get my front end done. Cost me $700 to get some front end work done. And then I just replaced my daggone axles riding on that damn road.
Mm.
I'm going to give the city the bill.
Send the bill
I'm
to
going
them.
To give it to them. I've got video, Anthony. That is the worst road in Baltimore City.
Franklin Town.
Nobody does nothing about it. Now, one more thing about the bikes. What did China do? China went from bikes to cars.
Yep.
Am I correct?
They went in the opposite direction. That's right.
Exactly. Mm. So what are we thinking about?
Raymond, appreciate you. Thank you so much. I tell you, North Avenue is a horrible street as well.
You got to do Franklin Town Road. I'm serious, Anthony. You would not believe it's like a third world country road.
Wow.
You won't believe it.
Folks,
and it's in this city.
Folks, I want you to call in. He said Franklin Town's worse. If you know of a horrible street, call in and let's call them out. I know Jack Young is not listening, but somebody in city government's listening. We're not a third world country. We're not a third world city. We should be able to ride down the streets without busting up your axles, messing up your tires, tearing up your alignment, and then the city doesn't offer you 5 cents to help you fix the problem. We got to fix this. We need change in the city. We need some people focused on the issues that they care about, that people care about, that citizens care about. 410-319-8888. North Avenue is horrible. Franklintown Road. Raymond said it is a mess. I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. I liked his idea of certain times. You can, you know, we in the city of Baltimore, we have streets that you can't turn on at certain times of the day. You can't turn left certain times of the day. You can't go down the street at certain times of the day. It's one way certain times of the day. Let's be creative. Let's be creative. 410-319-8888. Let's go to John. John's calling from Baltimore County. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm not in favor of back lanes. As I grew up in Baltimore City, and I got my bicycle. My parents told me to watch out for cars.
Yep.
And I was always under the impression that as a cyclist, I had to adhere to the rules and the cars adhere to. Stop at the stop sign. You know, stop and not move forward to the intersection.
Yes.
You know, and that the cars were looking out for me, but also it was my responsibility to look out for cars. With the bike lanes, man, you know, you come, you got right turn on red. You know, you don't know when that person is going to come up from Ken's car back up to that corner when you're trying to make that right turn. You know, it is a dangerous situation where a cyclist think that they have the right of way and they're not paying attention to the cars because they expect the cars to pay attention to them. And also to talk about these bad streets. If you have the cars nowadays have those anti-lock brakes, there have been many times when I've come down through the city, the light turns red, I'm trying to stop. If your car bounces, that brake releases.
Yep.
And you go forward. I think anyone who has a rear end accident should be suing the city because that street helps that accident. Because as I said, you hit that bump with anti-lock brakes, your brake is going to release because they think you're sliding and you're going to move forward further than you thought you were going to go. Thank you very much.
John, thank you. John just pointed out two very important things. When he was a young man, his parents told him, watch out for these cars. You've got to obey traffic signals. You've got to obey traffic just the way a car does. How many times have you been in the city of Baltimore and someone on a bicycle goes through a red light or turns when there should be no turn, ignores a stop sign? But if you did that in your car, all hell would break loose. 410-319-8888. We've got to do better. We've got to be smarter in how we do these things. 410-319-8888. Donna's calling from right here in Baltimore. Donna, welcome to the program.
Doing?
It's great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. The whole bike lane, I mean, it's something. We paved a lot of the streets in the downtown area and up and down, Druid Hill. They paved Druid Hill from, I can't remember where they started, but anyway, they paved Druid Hill. They paved, some of the other streets around that downtown area. But there was a bike master plan that was done about 5 years ago.
Yes.
And the bike master plan actually, and they supposed have had community meetings and met with all the different community groups where they were going to be putting these bike lanes in to give communities the opportunity to have input. I must have missed that bike master plan because I was taking care of a senior elderly parent.
Uh-huh.
So when by the time they finished paving the streets, and then all of a sudden these lanes came in, and I'm like, what? Where does this come from? So I called my community planner. My community planner said, oh, that's part of the bike master plan. I said, what? So I called. They sent me the copy. It was very thick. But one thing I didn't see in the bike master plan was a traffic study done.
Mm.
So I, because my background is transportation.
Of course, yep.
And I said, so where's the traffic study? And they were like, oh, they did one. I said, but I want to see a copy of it. I mean, how could you put these bike lanes in? Merlin Avenue, up and down downtown, you name it. How can you put these in, including up in Roland Park, that Roland Avenue? That was a disaster.
Huge
disaster.
They
finally got theirs removed and put the cars back on the corner, at the corner, and not in the middle of the street where cars can take your door off. Mm. And so, you know, I never was able to get a copy of the traffic study. And the traffic, the bike lane czar, who actually put this, supposed to have done the study, did the master plan they brought in, he left abruptly a couple months ago, because once the bike lanes went in and started backing up traffic and everything, he must have gotten so harassed so bad that he resigned and left. So now there's no bike czar. So now there's no bike czar at all. Mm. And, you know, whatever. So now we're left with all these bike lanes that don't make any sense. One, Merlin Avenue, they, you know, put the cars in the inside, the bike people in the outside, the bike people in the inside, the curb, they put the cars in the outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you were handicapped getting out with your wheelchair, you're going to get hit either by the bikes or by the cars.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't, and seems, if they're getting out on the passenger side, they got cars coming.
Now.
It did not make any sense from a transportation perspective. But I was told by one of my community planners, it's a done deal. I said, really?
So I confronted her.
I said, Roland Avenue is a good example of how it's so, they speed up and down it all the time. They do have a speed camera that catches a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you open your door, you're right in the middle of the traffic. So, you know, I said, you know, there's no bikes riding up and down. I said, where are all these bikes? She said, they use every excuse. Guess what? Well, the first neighborhood that actually got it removed was Roland Avenue. And I guarantee Merlin Avenue, people are going to start raising cane, and they're going to have that removed. And eventually you're going to see these bike lanes being redesigned and restructured. And they're really going to have to redo a traffic study.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to look at how to redesign the bike lanes and make it safe for the bikers, but also bring the cars back to the curb. There's nothing wrong with having a two-lane road. As long as you have, transportation calming devices. My final point is, you had a gentleman a couple of calls down to talk about gentrification. And, you know, our African-American community keep bringing up gentrification, like, you know, white people are coming in and taking over the city. No, gentrification is anybody who has money.
That's
it. Be African-Americans, Asian-Americans, anybody who has money that can come and transform a community that's not thriving can come in and rehab and take over the neighborhood. It has nothing to do with race. The powers to be was, I think what happened is when that bishop killed that guy, mm-hmm. in that bike, who was driving his bike in a bike lane, mm-hmm. the old bike lane, and other bikers that were hit by cars, I think that spurred, you know, the bicyclist groups to say, well, we need safe bike lanes. And that's what that started about 5 or 6 years ago, when all these bikers were getting hit, mm-hmm. by cars. So it started with, you know, they had too many incidents that happened. So they got money. The city must have gotten some money, and they actually had to, let's look doing the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I asked my community planner, why aren't they doing an assessment of how many bikes use these lanes? Because it's underutilized. Where are they? They're nowhere. And, you know, so the whole point is that these bike lanes came in because of a need when bikers were getting kicked,
uh-huh.
killed. And the bikers, the bike movement, they won. And with Stephanie Rollins, Blake was getting rerun for election. So that was a good tool for her to say, let me appease the bikers,
oh, yeah.
and get these lanes in. And so that bike lane stuff came in her administration, not in Catherine Pugh's administration. They were implementing Catherine Pugh's administration, and you could not reverse it. So the city definitely needs to go back and do another traffic study, if they didn't do one, and to reassess how to redesign those bike lanes so that the bikers and the cars can drive on the streets in safe conditions without either one of them causing harm to each other. And that's all I have to say. And thank
Donna,
you.
Donna, appreciate you so much. Now, that's sure. That is an educated, informed caller sharing information. I remember when Stephanie Rollins Blake was putting that bike master plan together. The problem is, anytime you have a conversation has to be two ways. It can't be one way. You're going to do this, our way or we're going to kick you out of office. You're going to do it our way or we're going to call you a dinosaur or unprogressive. Too many of these bikers think they are know-it-alls. 410-319-8888. That's the number to join our conversation. Now, if you are a pro bike lane person, call us. Tell us why you think that this is a good idea for our city. Alan's calling from Essex. Alan, welcome to the program.
There you go. I got you.
All right, brother.
Hey, first of all, thank you so much for having for being on the show today. I really appreciate you. And if I'm going to tell you something, but if it seems like I'm getting off track,
let me know. Go ahead.
Okay. two things. Two words, financial minority.
Mm.
Okay. Second thing, squeaky wheel. You remember when prayer was in school?
Uh-huh.
They got kicked out. Remember, it was a very small group.
Very small group. Got it out.
Mm-hmm. And they did it because nobody else was paying attention.
Mm.
Okay, this is my idea right here. I don't know if this is what the city is supposed to do, but in my view, this is what the city is supposed to do. This would not only fix the bike problem, but it would fix so many other issues in this city. It's insane. If they got together and said, okay, somebody comes up with an idea, anything for the city, whether it's the bikes, whether it's parking, no matter what it is, from that idea, they develop a study. That study includes pros, cons, what's good about the idea, what's bad about the idea. That package is sent down to the community leaders. And the community leaders, for example, have 60 days to get with their perspective.
Yes, yes.
Give them all the ups, downs, the side. Just don't say we're going to put bike lanes, how the bike lanes will be, how they're going to be stretched across, how it's going to be bad for people, how it's going to be good for people. What do you think? They put all that information together, and the community leaders and our city officials have a final meeting, a meeting of the minds, and say, okay, this is what I got from my people, the people that put me in charge to be able to talk to you and tell you what's on their minds. This is what we got. So once that is done, then if you pass a law, number one, you've got the majority behind
you. That's right.
Number two, people feel empowered when they feel involved. And unfortunately, because a lot of people aren't used to being involved, you kind of got to push them and coax them. But once you get people actually feeling like they have a voice, you're not going to be able to stop them. These people are going to feel like, okay, I can now put in my 2 cents worth and my vote counts.
Mm. And so then you realize, the majority rules.
Bingo.
But and everybody has some input. Yeah.
So instead of just saying, well, we did a study and this is what our study comes out, I guarantee you 85% of Baltimore knows at least 5% of what goes on in that city.
That's it.
And we don't find out until after it's done.
Mm.
We need to be on the front of that. And it's not, I believe it's just the way that we've allowed things to be handled for so long. We voted for you, so since you're up there, you're supposed to know what we think.
Mm.
We need to cut that out.
And I agree.
You're not going to be able, you should not be able to pass anything without my say-so.
Mm.
You shouldn't be able to come up with a law on your own. You shouldn't have it. We've allowed that to happen for way too long.
I think you've hit it, Alan. You've really called us out. That is a common sense, involved way that brings everybody into the conversation. Everybody into the conversation. Everybody has some input. And at the end of the day, oftentimes when you are heard, that's all you really want. If someone listens to you and respects you enough to hear your opinion on something, if it doesn't go your way, that's fine. But at least someone heard you. Gene's calling from Pikesville. Gene, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm going to sum it up, too. And God love Donna. But this is what Malcolm X said. We're just beggars in the white man's house.
Ouch.
And that's what we are. Just like that young man said, if you don't participate in the game, you're not at the table, then mm-hmm. you're part of the menu.
Yeah.
Donna was brilliant. Her dissertation was brilliant. Wasn't it?
It really was.
And she explained it just eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
But the point that I got from her was, her observations were all after the fact.
Yep.
She didn't participate until after the fact. She got all the information that was relevant, but it was all too late because it
was done. Yep. Mm.
Okay, and so I'm a pro-biker, biker. And I'm pro, but I'm not participating now. I'm too old to be riding on a bicycle.
Uh-huh.
But the whole time I was at Morgan, there maybe were 10 of us who rode bicycles religiously. That was our main mode of transportation.
Oh, wow.
But I did have a two-seater English car. I had an MG.
Oh, nice.
And that was my other transportation because that was part of during the gas crisis or whatever. So I opted to get rid of my Grand Prix. And I got a 2-seater sports car, which was got about 35 miles per gallon, which is common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that you can go from Georgia to Maine on the Appalachian Trail on bicycles.
You sure can.
Yeah, Europeans who come to America, this is something that they it's part of the tourist thing. So it's relevant. But another thing we use is culture and mindset. It's not, bicycles basically are not a part of the black culture and mindset.
Wow.
It's not part of our, basically our culture, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not participants, in this process. But I'm glad that we have it. I hope we have it, and I hope people utilize it. And there's a word that in our community that we use is called sickums. The sickums need to get on a bicycle. Lose some of that weight.
I appreciate you. Thanks for your call. Folks, the interesting thing, a lot of people pointed out in this conversation, the people in Roland Park, they put a bike lane in there. The people in Roland Park said, oh, no, you're not, and started protesting it, calling people, and the bike lane is gone. Maybe the squeaky wheel does get the grease. 410-319-8888. We're going to take a very quick break. Ronnie, Paul, Courtney, all of you, hold on. So much more still to say about bike lanes here on Today with Dr. K. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Today with Dr. K. Dr. K will be back next week. Today, we are talking about bike lanes. Delegate Robin Lewis over in East Baltimore asked Jack Young to stop the demolition of bike lanes over in East Baltimore because we've got to find a compromise, she said. A little late for a compromise when you put a bike lane down the street and you didn't ask the community whether or not they wanted the bike lane. Bike lanes are good. Do not get me wrong. I want people to be on their bikes. There is nothing more beautiful than seeing a mama and a daddy and a baby, a little boy, a little girl on their bikes going down the street as a family. But we got to do it where it makes sense. Go down Maryland Avenue. Go down Cathedral Monument. It doesn't make sense. Those streets are so... Go up Drute Hill. Those streets are so small now. I bet you if we did a traffic study, we would find that there are more accidents. 410-319-8880. We got about 30 minutes left. I want to hear from you. What is the compromise? What's the solution? What can we do? People have offered a lot of great ideas on timing, restrictions, but there's got to be a better way. 410-319-8888. Courtney is calling from Baltimore. Courtney, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I just wanted to say, well, literally, I'm just sitting here thinking, and now I want to take it back kind of to when they had those projects, like those high-rises, and how it was set up like a prison, and the goal was targeting our babies and said, like, if they live like they're in prison, will they contribute to the prison system?
Mm.
And I think that we did it at an alarming rate. And when I say we, I mean African-Americans. And I think that, you know, they demolished them. They came up, well, you know, the Section 8 and now the MB2. But I think that the goal is to push us out, and they're doing a great job at it. And we're sleeping and pretending like it's not happening, but that's exactly what's happening. And I think little tiny things, like you're talking about the bike lane, but what about the crosswalk for these people that are legally jaywalking when, you know, there's a green light, you know? And then the fentanyl hitting our city, this high crime, these unsolved murders, the emergency vehicles, they can't even get through the city. And you know, when seconds count, police are minutes away. Mm. We talk about the dilapidated houses. What's the solution? Yeah, fix it up and sell it at an unaffordable rate. But you know what? The goal, in my opinion, is to push us out. Because even when... what's her name? Sheila Dixon was in office. They got rid of the dirt bikes over there at Park Heights with the promise that they would build a dirt bike park. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't build that dirt bike park, yet we still have dirt bikes on the street, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think all of this is just a distraction from what's really going on. And even this conversation is low-key inciting people and agitating people where, unfortunately, the city... it's been taken from us, and we just have to relinquish it and just come together and get our own piece of land. You know what I mean? Like, they took it over, and it's just going to keep getting worse. It's for them. They took it over. It's not for us anymore, unfortunately. Mm.
Courtney, thank you for your call. Courtney is really, I think she's speaking for a lot of folks. People wonder, is their voice being heard? When decision, and really, I mean, when you think in the great scheme of life and death and poverty and hunger, and a bike lane is not that important, to be honest with you. But really, the bike lane is a microcosm of something else. It's a microcosm of something much bigger. Who's listening? And when they hear your voice, are they held accountable? 410-319-8888. For the last hour and a half, we've been talking about bike lanes. And I don't think people are opposed to bike lanes. They're opposed to not having their voice heard. They're opposed to people just doing things without asking for input. We can do much better. 410-319-8888. Ronnie's calling from right here in Maryland. Ronnie, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Hey, man. Welcome.
All right. Real quick, two things I think. This is my opinion. Two things that make the world go around. Unity and money. Right?
Uh-huh.
One thing about black folks, we got one of those, but not the other one. We got money, but we ain't got no unity.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, if you go down to the city hall, you go down there when they have those meetings, count how many black people you see in there. But you can count white people, you can count Asians, you can count Indians. They're in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they do? They band together, they put their money together. Because you know, money passes the law. You know that.
You're right.
We can take this money, and that's what they did with them bike lanes. They took that money, and they put $30,000-$40,000 together, and they put it to them politicians, and they made a move. They didn't do it because we're talking on, not nothing wrong with the radio station, but this ain't what we need to fight at. Nothing, this ain't what we need to fight at, brother.
You're right.
We need to fight at the town meetings when they have those meetings. If black people, we can get together because we got the money. We ain't broke. If we can get together, get everybody down there at one accord and fight that way, that's how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look through history. People confirmation when they unity, when they get together, when they're all on one accord. When everybody's tossed through and fro, it's kind of hard to get together. That's step one. Now, another thing was with this. Worst road. I live in you already know where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
Patasko Road. To me, that's the worst road in Baltimore.
What's that street again?
Was that Patasko?
Patasko.
Like near the Patasko?
Yes. Yes, you're right.
I live in Brooklyn. So if I'm saying it right, the Patasko Road.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
That is probably the worst road in Baltimore, in my opinion. I mean, I've had my car's been going through so much, too many issues on that road by itself. So it is like a long road, and there's never potholes. So that's just my opinion.
Ronnie, thank you for your call. Ronnie is on to something. If we could band together, even if we disagree, but if we could come together and listen to each other, maybe we could find some solutions. Maybe we put our money together, the mayor would listen to us and say, well, they have more money. Let me hear what they have to say. And if we can get them to hear what we got to say, maybe we're going to say something that makes some common sense, and maybe we'll make a difference. Because I'm telling you, these bikers, these pro-bike advocates, lobbyists, they are spending some money in our city. And the politicians are listening. 410-319-8888. We have a new caller calling from right here in Baltimore. Valerie's on the line. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey there.
So I was listening. I understand that they have heard us. They're showing us what they really think and feel about us.
Wow.
I'd rather do a bike lane than open up wrecks for the children. I'd rather spend the money on bike lanes than worry about education for the children. We're going to take this money and do what we want with it because we don't care about you and your community. That's how I take it.
Mm-hmm. Valerie, I think you are right. I think that's how it's translated down at City Hall. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And as long as you're loud and yelling at me, or as long as you're writing a $250 check to me, if you come in and say, I want a bike lane on the other side of town, not even on the side of town where I live, but I want a bike lane on the other side of town, I'm going to go for it. We got to do better than this. Got to do better than this. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Paul's calling from West Baltimore. Paul, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, everybody, I want you to stop right now and just open up your mind and think about what I'm about to say. The bike lanes, you're not making a whole lot of money off a guy with a helmet on and pads riding a bike down the street. And they're putting up these bike lanes. There's a bigger picture. If you notice throughout the city of Baltimore, you see these little yellow with their little green bicycles and scooters.
Uh-huh.
They're making money off that because in order to use it, you have to put your bank card in, and you're being charged by the minute. That's the whole thing about the bike lane. The city will co-sign on that because now the city is making money off of
wow.
it. Now, when you downtown, and you see these things, what are you going to ride on the curb? You're going to run somebody over? We see a lot of that. No, we need bike lanes. That's how the city's producing money. Open up your eyes, people. It's bigger than just the people we see riding the bike. It's designed for a reason. They are co-signing on it because they're going to make millions of dollars off them little green scooters that you see the people riding in the city, and they got the bikes now. That you have to put the card in the bike in order to rent the bike for a while. That's the bigger picture. Now, if I put it through all out downtown Baltimore, now leading out to the county, guess what? Bob, Charlie, or whoever gonna have to drive.
Wow.
You jump on a scooter. They're everywhere. They're even on the light rails. When you get off the light rail, they're on the train. When you get off the train, they're parked right there. Open up your eyes, people. This is why they're trying to create these lanes, because you cannot have these people riding these scooters or these bicycles on the sidewalk going through downtown. It's designed for the city to make money. Think about it. That's why they popping up all over the place. I can get out from Patapsco, like the guy was in Patapsco. The scooters are sitting right there. I can get on one of them. If they had bike lanes, guess what? I can ride it all the way downtown.
Downtown.
I don't have to use my car anymore. But the city's going to make money off of that. Think about it. Think about it. That's why you're seeing the lanes pop up all over now. And guess what? We can voice our opinion, but the city's going to make a lot of money off of that. So think about it. Thanks
Paul,
for taking my call.
Thanks for your call, Paul. Paul is really speaking a truth that we don't want to admit is true. But really, it is about the dollars and cents. The people who want these bike lanes are ensuring a revenue generator for the city, a line of revenue. I'm telling you, it's all intertwined, folks. And your opinion and your neighborhood, your parking space doesn't matter. We're running out of time. I want to get all of our callers in. 410-319-8888. If you have something on bike lanes that you want to share with us, let's go to Jesse. Jesse's calling from Baltimore County. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm actually calling from Baltimore City.
Oh, okay.
First off, the bike lanes, they just need to do a good traffic study and figure it out, like the one lady said earlier. Because it's taking up too many lanes. Like, I drive a cargo van, and a lot of times I have to come up 25th Street and turn on Maryland Avenue.
Yep.
I can hardly make the turn.
Yep.
And another thing I want to say is that, I got three things I want to try and get out real quick. The second thing is that Pennington Avenue is probably one of the worst streets in the city.
Where's Pennington? I'm not familiar with that.
That's down in South Baltimore.
Oh, South Baltimore. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yep, I know where you're talking about.
Yeah, down in that area. And the third thing I want to say, speaking about traffic and things, is like I live on East Federal Street.
Mm-hmm.
Cars fly up and down here. I've called 311 to find out how to get a crossing guard for the kids. Because in my block alone, there's four kids.
Wow.
I have to cross Federal Street and walk up to the new Fort Worthington.
Uh-huh.
And there's a crosswalk a little ways up, but there's no crossing guard even at that crosswalk because they can still get to school from that way. And all they told me at 311 was to talk to the principal at the school.
Jeez.
So that's interesting how the city does things.
Those kids need a crosswalk. So, folks, it's really interesting how certain people can make a call and things happen, and other people go talk to the principal. Call your council person. Call the Department of Transportation. Call the Department of Education. We got to do better than that. 410-319-8888. Cart's on the line, calling from Baltimore. Welcome to the program.
Hey,
you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Thank you there.
I wanted to add all the other commentaries that have been wonderful.
All right.
If you look at what the Urban Land Institute says about gentrification,
mm-hmm.
a lady that called said, no, it's not about black and white. It is about green. The color is green. But what they say is, how to manage it. They don't say don't gentrify a city. They say how to manage it, make it a friendly gentrification. And the bike lane is a part of the curb appeal of a community. So those bike lanes are not for the residents, the current residents of Baltimore. They're for the future residents.
Future residents.
Yeah. So if we who will live here in Baltimore now want to stay here, we have to be about the business of making the elected officials make changes that are user-friendly for those who are here now, those who have been here for the past decade or two and watch Baltimore go through its changes and want to see it become better. Then we have to see on our elected officials. I mean, there is a process in place, and we can't not participate in the system and then feel free to criticize it when it doesn't work for us.
That's You're right.
Not things going forward. So to go forward, get with your local council person and or organize with either at your churches or local nonprofits who are working with the community. And give that council person hell, to put it politely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if they don't do it right the first term, they don't get a second term. And if you get too badly in the first term, recall them and replace them early.
That's right. I'm with you. Thank you for calling. Thanks for sharing your perspective. There's got to be an accountability. There's got to be a reckoning. People can't just do things. They can't just make arbitrary decisions about your neighborhood and your quality of life and not be held accountable for it. 410-319-8888. We're getting all of our callers in. We have about 14 minutes left. Let's go to James Austin calling from Baltimore. James, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, I got a big problem. I've busted one of my tires on Prairie Parkway, and I called the city up, and they notified me to transportation.
Uh-huh.
So I called transportation up, and they sent me a form. So I filled the form out, and they told me, said they were getting in contact with me. So after about 3 or 4 months, I called them back. And they told me because I was the first one to call about that pothole, I don't get paid.
Oh.
But if I was the second one that called in about the pothole, I would have got paid.
Now, you know that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. James, thanks for sharing that. See, folks, the reason they get away with that is because we've allowed them to get away with that. The reason they get away with that is because we've told them it's okay to get away with that. We've got to do more. We've got to hold people accountable. That man went through all the steps they told him to, filled out the paperwork, sent the paperwork, called months later. Oh, since you were the first person to call. What kind of nonsense is that? Diane's on the line. Diane's calling from Baltimore. Diane, I always love when you call in.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm well. Anthony, you know what? What that last caller was, you know what I just thought about?
What's that?
Having some of my white friends call. When something like that, they would get it. I mean, because it must be the sound of your voice. It's got to be, you know.
I can't believe it.
It's ridiculous. That, you know, and sometimes you wonder why people don't vote because, when you know, it's all this what the guy just said. He called. Shouldn't have been the first person. It doesn't matter if your streets are torn up, and it's not the citizens' fault. Because we pay taxes. I don't care if you homeowner or not. You pay taxes every time you go to the store.
Every time.
And all that money is supposed to go to different places in the city. And for stuff to happen like that, I didn't call for that, but that is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, I was going to say some of the things like that for that crossing guard. That person need to call their city council person. Mm-hmm. Corey McCraig is their state senator. Cheryl Glenn is their delegate. Talbot Branch is another one. And Stephanie Smith. Those delegates, they need to call them
they
about
have to.
A crossing guard for that particular park.
It's too late, before a child is hurt.
The thing about it, they knew that they opened up that school. That school opened up 2 years ago. Fort Reverendon is a brand new 21st century. Why didn't they have a crossing guard in that budget when they opened that school up? It's a brand new school. It was before Senator McFadden left.
Yep.
I was supposed to go that day, and I couldn't get there. But that they had a grand opening for that thing. So they should have had the crossing guard the same time they opened the school up. But I called about these bike lanes.
Go ahead.
Robbie Lewis is my delegate. And I told her last night they had a town hall meeting at Impact about transportation. I told her I don't like those bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. I almost got hit by a bike.
Wow.
Because they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention themselves. That's why they get hit. Like the guy said, one of your callers said, when I learned to ride a bike, my parents told me to watch out, stop at the red light. We were all taught that.
Yep.
To stop at the red light, obey the signals just like a car. I mean, first of all, the streets in Baltimore City, it's not enough room, especially when what they did on Fair Street and Orleans Street, they put these columns in the middle of the street.
Wasn't that crazy?
And when Schaefer was the mayor, he took them up so the streets could be wider.
Mm-hmm.
When O'Malley came, they put them back. That is crazy. And that makes the streets smaller. And, like, the buses have trouble going down Maryland Avenue because of the bike lane.
Yep.
I mean, and because, like you said, they got the car sitting at the curb. That is so crazy, Anthony. You know I'm at a meeting all the time.
So I know you are.
You know I'm at a meeting, and I will tell them, look, that doesn't make any sense. You pleasing one group of people, but y'all didn't talk about the people over here in Canton. Hmm. Which they got Mayor Pugh about those bike lanes.
They sure did.
They took those bike lanes off because they was like, I can't even park my car. And these were elderly people that live up in that. So we got to all fight together. I don't care what color you are. We got to fight together about these bike lanes because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Anthony, I don't know what else to say.
Diane, you have hit it on the head. The thing that you do, that because I know you, is you go to the community meetings. You talk to the decision makers and you let them know that you are not pleased, that you are not falling for it. 410-319-8880. We have about 4 minutes left. If you have something you want to add to our conversation about bike lanes, we want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. There's got to be a better way. A compromise has to come. But it's got to come before you put the bike lane. It needs to come. See, I live on St. Paul Street in the 1800 block. Before you even think about adding a bike lane down my street, you better knock on that door. Horace is calling from Baltimore. Welcome to the program.
I'm just going to drop them and then come right back.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. So let me give you guys a little bit of history. I'm a bike messenger. I've been a bike messenger for over 13 years. I work for a company called Magic Messengers. Magic Messengers was the first same-day bike and car delivery service in Baltimore City. Not just that, the first bike messenger in Baltimore City was a black man, R.I.P. Chico. He passed away a couple years ago. I personally don't like the bike lanes. Me, because I'm a different type of rider, I can keep up with the traffic. Me riding in a bike lane, to me, is dangerous because I ride too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Second, drivers used to complain so much about bikers and about where we ride in the streets and on the sidewalks and standing third, so they gave us bike lanes. They still complaining about that. My thing is this. Those bike lanes are an opportunity for parents and their children to go out together as a family and do something healthy together, exercise. That Maryland Avenue track, drivers, I see drivers all the time coming from out the alleys, almost hit me, almost hit my coworkers, almost get door because drivers just don't care. They don't care to look around. They don't care to pay attention. And everything is bike lanes this and bike lanes that. Bike lanes are safe for bikers. It's a way to encourage people to be healthy. It's a way to get families, especially in the black community, to come out together and to do something together. That's all I wanted to say.
I appreciate that. I think he makes sense. Horace is actually telling us, look, people have complained about bikes being in the street. People have complained about this and that. So they started to create bike lanes so that there were other options. And people need to be on their bikes. They need to be healthy. But by the same token, we've got to respect everybody on the highway. Got to respect everybody out in the streets. And as much as he said he's seen cars come out of alleys, almost hit bikers, messengers, I tell you, I have seen bikes shoot through traffic. People need to slam on their brakes. And the bikers don't care. They just assume you're going to stop. The car will stop for me. One day it's not going to happen. And we'll all be slowed walking and sad singing with some great tragedy. Adrian's on the line calling from Baltimore. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Anthony. I'm enjoying your show.
Oh, thank you.
Comment to make about the bikers.
Okay.
I think they need to do better. If they want to share the roads and share the responsibility of paying to ride your bike, like we have to pay car insurance to put our vehicles on the road,
mm-hmm.
make them pay some form of bike insurance and see how much they enjoy riding the bikes then.
Adrian,
is that fair?
No, I think you're on to something. There needs to be some sort of accountability. And if you're paying, see what we're doing now, all of us are paying for the bike lane. And I'm not using the bike lane. Now, that's not such a good argument when people say, well, all my tax dollars go to schools. I don't have a child in the public schools. But my tax dollars go to it. My tax dollars go to such and such. And I'm not involved. But I have to tell you, we've got to find a way to make this work for all of us, for the entire city. Otherwise, you're just allowing special interests in a small group of people to have their way. And the rest of our voices are not being heard. Jessica is calling from Baltimore. Jessica, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you, Anthony. Here's my issue. I have all the respect in the world for the bikers and this idea of healthy living and so on. But let's just be really clear here. That excuse of creating this, you know, it encourages healthy living. There's no their right mind is going to jump out here on these Baltimore City streets and these bike lanes with their children and ride these bikes down the street. That's just not real. I mean, you may see it in maybe one or two neighborhoods, but you're not going to see that. especially when you got these roads that are jacked up as they are, and then to create a bike lane on top of that just makes no sense to me. And yes, we should share the accountability, because anytime you can run a stop sign on a bike and then flip me the bird because you felt like I could slow down, you have lost every inch of your brain. I mean, I really could have tore you to pieces. Mm. But I have to be mindful that you're in the street. Well, you have to also be mindful that you're in the street with other cars. That, you know, I mean, honestly, it's not enough room as it is. So if, in fact, I'm riding and you feel this and you have this lane and I'm trying to avoid a pothole, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to hop speed past you so I can get through the pothole, so I can not miss this pothole.
Jessica, that is the final word. Folks, we've been talking potholes. We've talked bad streets, potholes, bike lanes here on Today with Dr. K. I've enjoyed everybody's. Thanks for calling. Thanks for your opinions. Thanks for your perspectives. Thanks to all the folks here at WEAA. This has been Today with Dr. K. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.